Good morning.
Wow. But what a song that was. Did that touch your heart? That was like amazing. The manger throne. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. We adore you. That's the word, to adore. Man, stripped down, you are God. Thank you so much for coming. We thank you for this season, Lord Jesus. We love you. Lord, we thank you so much for this church and the many that have come before and paved the way, men and women of God. Thank you, Jesus, for the transforming power of your grace, Lord, through the manger, Lord. Thank you, God. Bless this message. Lord, bless Pastor Schaller in South America. May he turn that country and all those there working upside down for you. Thank you for Pastor Hadley and his love and Pastor Stan. Bless them as they go and all those with them. Jesus, we thank you for Baltimore and the privilege it is to live here, to grow here, Lord, to love here, Jesus, we thank you. And thank you for this reality, Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
It's so good to be with you. This is a real treat. I have never been up here before like this. With great nerves and great honor, I stand before you. And it's great to be amongst such great listeners and lovers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus. It's amazing. This Christmas season, thanks, Phil. We love you so much. He's one of our newcomers right here, Phil. We love you, Phil. As a Christian and as Christians, we celebrate Christmas. And in our culture, our Western culture, it affects us as a season. We kind of like, you know, pack and unpack the Christmas ornaments and the lights. And we take them out of the basement or out of the attic, right? But really, like, the truth of the matter is that we as believers, this Advent, this visitation of Jesus is not a season for us. It's a reality, isn't it? It covers every day of this year and every day of last year and every day that's ever come into existence. Because Jesus is the reality. He is the uncaused cause. He is the firstborn, the very first and the very last, it says in Revelations chapter 1. I'm very so encouraged. Maybe I have some illustrations, but maybe I give this theme as a message today, that the message that I want to share with you is maybe like a simple phrase, and it comes from the book of Daniel, and we're going to look at that. And the phrase is, there is not, but there is. So there is not, but there is. And there is not someone like the one we just described. There is not someone that deserves all our adoration. Not on this earth, right? There's not a man or woman. There's not a place. There's not a people. There's not a number, right? And it lacks something. And I want to show you that today. And also, I want to, you know, it's like so much fun to talk about Jesus, isn't it? Remember Pastor Schaller would say, you know, he says often and does it through his life, and you do too, that we make a big deal about Jesus. I love that. And that's what we're going to do. So turn in your Bible to Daniel, turn to Daniel chapter 2. And this theme out right here. Maybe I'll go like this. And it's Daniel. The verse we'll cite is Daniel 11, but I want to look at the whole chapter. And this is kind of like the point is that when we don't have God, right, we don't have anything. I mean, we scour the earth. We are digging it up. We are finding every resource. We are finding every technology. We want to leave this planet to find something better than God. And the reality is there's not. And actually, in the book of Daniel, we discover it's really amazing. We see a foreshadowing of Christ, you know, because God revealed himself, generally speaking, through nature, right? Psalm 19:2 says, day by day, he speaks, and night by night, he reveals knowledge. The heavens declare of this, and we see this. But then specifically, in a very exact, pinpoint, gracious way, he reveals himself to us. And he's not under a rock. He's not at the depths of some cave or at the height of some mountain, right? He's a manger throne. And in Daniel chapter 2, we see the struggle. And actually, I think there's a lot of parallels that I want to try to pull from this in Daniel chapter 2 with our life today, okay? So Daniel chapter 2, the story is Nebuchadnezzar, a king who has problems. And yes, just a newsflash for all of us, even the rich, even the powerful, everyone doesn't sleep at night. Everyone has a troubled spirit. And honestly, I think it's God's grace. It's God trying to get a hold of people. I don't know about you, but I like to pray for famous people that they come to Jesus. I like to think that anyone could turn to him, no matter how evil and how far off politically they are. God gets to every one of them. And in this chapter, we see this. Really, the great power of the world at that time, God has sent his people. And it says that in verse 1, it says that his spirit was troubled and he couldn't sleep. And the story goes that he knew there was a lack of knowledge amongst the people in his life. And it's very much, we could say, like us today, and even in our country, we see that all that we have and all that we've obtained and all that we've discovered, like, there's angst, you know, even at Christmas, even at the touch of our fingers when we order something, we get it. It's not enough. And here he calls out his men, the Chaldeans, because it says in verse 4, because they're so flattering, right? Like, they don't have the answer. They don't have it. There's not, right, that phrase. There is not, because we can see here, he says, and they say in verse 4, O king, live forever. Yeah, it's the wrong statement, right? He will not live forever. No man will, right? Humanly speaking, right? Like, but the world will say those lies. The world gives those promises, the flattery. They give you what you want to hear, right? And that's kind of like the sell that is happening here. But Nebuchadnezzar's frustration leads him to a journey of really searching. And he withholds the information. He withholds the dream that troubles him, right? And in a way, I feel like that's happening in this world. We see that people are searching in today's world. My wife sent me a clip from a kind of like a left-sided news organization, and the four top stories of this year of 2024 are a couple world events, geopolitical events. And then the third thing I think was that the Bible, the sale of a Bible in America has gone up 22% in the last 5 years. Wow. So it was like at like, I think 9 million a year. And even just through the third quarter of October and the beginning of the fourth quarter, it was at like 15 or 17 million Bibles just in America that were purchased. And I was thinking, like, that is the reality. We're all searching. I mean, people are searching. And this is encouraging us during this season. And here's why. The story plays out beautifully. And it comes with, by way of interpretation, right? And if you turn the, or go down a little further to verse 10, it says, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, after making this demand that you cannot, I'm not going to share with you my dream. I want you to tell me the dream, right? I want you to get so precise that you would read my mind, you would know my thoughts, you would know what troubles me, right? You could get inside. No one can except our Lord, right? We know this. And then I want you to interpret its meaning. And it says in verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand. That is a true statement. There are true statements like this out there that are leading people to Christ, right? There are these moments, light bulb moments, this reality, rubber meeting the road. And it says further, it says, for no great power, no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter of the Chaldeans or Chaldean. It's a tall order, you know, to predict someone's what they're thinking or what they've thought, and then also to interpret its meaning. And in verse 11, it says, the thing that the king has asked is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods, who dwelling is not with flesh. This is so interesting that like almost 600 years before Christ comes, these Chaldeans like reveal something, historically speaking, prophetically speaking, that they say can never happen. That God could never, or the God, small g, right? Like we can put here, this is like the small g's. And these guys are limited. They have a limit. And it's fallen short, and it has really like troubled man. And this knot is like interesting because when you see in 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's 26 or 27, it says that God uses the simple things of this world to confound the wise. And isn't it interesting that during Christmas, it's all about like wise men? You know, like there's two sides of like wise men here. And these wise men, right, like these wise guys, we would say, are like, they're just adequate. They're not enough, you know? They can't get the job done. They can't bring the king to the next level, like to sleep. I mean, you have all the money in the world and you can't sleep, right? And isn't this so interesting? We see the parallels in our life. And then, so I want to skip ahead and then I'm going to go back, okay, in our time. Are you guys following me? Time's flying and I'm enjoying this so much with you. So there is not, but, right, I said, but there is. There is, right? There is. This is, let's cite this. Daniel 2:28. All right? Let's, oh man, there's so much here. Like, I could just, there's just so much. It's so amazing. I want to try to illustrate this through this comparison, but I also want to, like, maybe we try to use some application to this. This is so rich in the sense that Christmas is not like the first thought. Like, Jesus's advent isn't like really the first. This has always been part of God's mind. You know, like, Christmas was always in his mind, you know, sending his son, dying for us. It's amazing. And Daniel is like us, right? This is Daniel. And he has this amazing expression. And it says in verse 28, well, let's read verse 27. Daniel answered the king, "No wise man, enchanter or magician or astrologer can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked." Right? Wow. What a truth. How does he get there? How does he get there? Because if you look, well, we'll go there. He is so, and I want to say this about this Daniel's king, right? Our king. He has this, like, he has this amazing confidence. He's very sure. That's a good word. He's sure. How is he sure? Because you see, after this amazing, like, moment that troubles the king, the impenetrable walled king of this empire, we see that after the king, let's go back to verse 12. It says, "Because the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed." When you look at this, there is not, there comes with, like, the lack of God and this small g, this one that doesn't have everything. We see that it makes him angry, and that there is, well, we'll just say death, right? Like, that's what he reverts to. Like, he goes back to, right? He's, like, angry. He doesn't have another solution. And that's very much like the world that we have experienced, the world that the devil is trying to sell. It is very much what we have been taken out of. Praise God. And today, it's amazing when we look at the former self of us, the anger, right? And the death, the destruction. And that's where that tends to, the old heart, right? But it says that in verse 14, Daniel replied with prudence and discretion. And we'll just use the word wisdom. That's what he had. It's amazing. He responds with prudence. It's an amazing, I was thinking, like, prudence is just this quality we see in Jesus, isn't it? He has this mild manner. He knows how to behave. He knows how to navigate. And it's because he's sure. He's sure of his God, right? And he has this wisdom. There's so much to think about with this wisdom. It says in Isaiah 11:2 that the Spirit of God will come upon him and endow him with wisdom and knowledge and understanding and strength and might, right? But that's not the king we see here. That's not the one of this world. It lacks that. But Daniel, little old Daniel and his companions, they have this confidence. And that's what we've been called into and we've been sent out to, is confidence and surety of there is a God. There is a God. And that's what Daniel, you can see it happen. Look in verse 16. This is cool. With his prudence and with his wisdom, Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time. Isn't that awesome? That's prudence and wisdom. That's having the living God. That you can walk in during this season. You can walk into the circumstances of your life, the difficulties, the tragedies even. God is with us, and he's giving us confidence to say, give me a meeting with the king. He doesn't even, in the order and sequence of this chapter, he doesn't pray yet. We don't see that. Maybe he has. But the order is, he goes, give me a meeting first. He's already got it, because he's got God. He's got the living God. He's got Yeshua, really. He has the Lord saves. And here we see that the Chaldeans, they don't have the Lord saves. They're like, there's no way. It's impossible with man, but very possible with God, right? In Luke chapter 1. But the Chaldeans admit it. They go, it's not possible. God cannot dwell in physical human form. And it's interesting to note that as Christians, we have such an amazing advantage. I grew up in this church, and one very important thing I've learned thus far, and I have learned very little, very, very little, is that I must look at humanity through Jesus. We cannot look at man as men. We cannot look at this world just without our Savior. We must look at him. I mean, look at the people of this world, the people that we love, even our own family members, the ones across the other side of the ocean. We must look at them through the manger, through these promises. Like it says in Deuteronomy 7:28, I loved you, 7:8. I loved you. It's because I loved you and the promises I gave your fathers. And Deuteronomy chapter 4, it also says the same. It's, I love you because of what I've done for you. Abraham even said it when his son asked him, you know, like, what? How's God going to do this? Right? In Genesis 22:8, he said, God will provide himself. It's in him. It's in his nature to do this. And Daniel knew it, and that's the confidence we have today. And that's what it says in verse 28. Let's read it. But there is a God. Can you say that together with me? But there is a God, right? There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, okay? That speaks to the past and the present. I mean, we could say it also speaks to the future, but if we break it down this way, he reveals the mysteries of the past, of what was and what is, and he has made known what will be, right? Known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be. The living God knows what was, what is, and what will be. This is amazing. And we see this in our Bibles, right? We see time and time again the prophecies being fulfilled of Hosea 11:1, that I've loved you, Israel, and as a son, and I will take you out of Egypt. I will take you out of Egypt. It's speaking of Jesus as he flees. And listen to this. Isn't this interesting? In Matthew chapter 1, let's turn. I'm going to flip there real quick. Man, now I see why Pastor Schaller has that microphone in his ear. He's got two hands. I got pens in my hand. I got a microphone in my hand. Man, I got it all. We got it all. We're so blessed. Okay. Matthew 1. Nope, excuse me. Matthew 2, verse 16. When he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, they became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem. What does that sound like? Like there's not a God. There's not a God in his life. He doesn't know a God. And that's his reaction. His reaction is anger and death. Isn't that interesting? The wise men go to the Savior from the Far East with joy in their heart, with confidence. They stand before him, Herod, these wise men of the time of Jesus 600 years later. And they do the right thing. And that's like us. We're like little wise men navigating our life in the 21st century, doing it with great prudence and doing it with great wisdom. And God is exalting us. And here's why. This is kind of like the application to this. This is what I want to like maybe share as we can take this home. So we know that Psalm 14:1 says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God, right? Like, I'll be the first to admit, I'm like, yeah, that's me. I've said that. You know, there's no God, right? But then we as believers, it's amazing, like the advent, the reality of Christ in our life, filling us all in all. We see, we get so full of it. And I want to show you that the application is in Daniel chapter 10. We see if, you know, in the Bible, we see the meanings of things, and God speaks to Daniel. And there's a lot of comments. Oh man, I'm passing up so many good things right now. But, I just want to say, how do I get this? How do I get this confidence? I want it. This is completely like negative and we see here a positive. I want the positive stuff. Give me the things that help me in my life. And I want confidence, spiritual confidence, strength, right? Well, this is how Daniel got it. This is how Daniel was able to operate in this very intense environment. Politically, we can see all the parallels. And it says in verse 11, Daniel 10, verse 11. Nope. Oh, I don't know how you erase with my finger. I used to be able to erase. Okay. So Daniel 10, this is the Lord speaking through an angel, a vision. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved. This is how you get it. Just like Jesus got it when he came. He was loved. Loved by his Father. Right? You're greatly loved. Why would God say that you're greatly loved unless you know you're loved? Right? Like, I would say to you, I love you. And the main reason why I say that is because I might not think you know that. Or, right, we say that to our children because they need that. But God says it in a different way. He says, oh, Daniel, greatly loved. Right? Like, I'm just reminding you. Like, you know it. We walk together, right? Because you walk with me. Because it says in Proverbs 8:17, it says that God is loves those that love me, and those that seek me find me. So there is a love here that Daniel has, and that's the first thing that gives us confidence in this world as we understand this. The second thing is we see here, it's in verse 12. And then he said to me, fear not, for from the first day, and I just want to make a point, if this has never happened, or there has been a season in our life where we haven't been loved, where you don't have the courage, maybe it's a Christmas season where there's not a lot of confidence. When he says, from the first day, for us as Christians, that's today. We don't need to go back any further in our past. We have today. Day by day, God speaks, and night by night, he reveals his knowledge. Every day is new. He waters his garden every morning in Isaiah 27:3. And I think this is so awesome. From the very first day, you set your heart. And I like this. A set heart. Oh man, we need this more than ever. How many of you at a young age set your heart to the Lord? How many of you this last week have set your heart to the living God? How many of you, like even decorating your house, turning on the music, hearing the sounds of worship, we set our heart in adoration, right? In all that we do, at work, at home, at school, the adoration starts when we set our heart towards our Savior. This is a key. It will give you confidence. It will give you prudence. It will give us wisdom for our day. And then the last thing that is so helpful. Whoa, this little strap thing. Okay. The third thing is, if we humble ourselves, oh man, how do we do it? Philippians 2, Jesus did it. If Jesus can do it, we can do it, right? If the one, the Almighty God, comes to the earth, you know, and I was thinking of this incredible, this is an awesome little illustration by Wilmington, Dr. Wilmington, and Dr. Wilmington's Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. This is a picture of God humbling himself. Are you ready? It's a comparison. It says, the owner of a $175,000 Rolls-Royce Grey Ghost automobile is suddenly and mysteriously transported in Twilight Zone fashion to Earth's most remote area, where the residents are still in the Stone Age. After recovering from the initial shock, the man notices their only means of transportation involves the hitching of an ox to crude wooden carts or wagons. Sitting in his Rolls, surrounded by luxury, the owner soon realizes that there are two courses of action open to him. He can place, number one, he can place the auto in gear, and using its awesome power, he can literally leave those simple natives in the dust. Or, however, he can keep the motor running, ease the auto into neutral, and allow his magnificent machine to be pulled by lowly oxen. After some thought, the second option is decided upon. But why? For some reason, he feels a strong desire to know these people. He wants to travel at their pace, learn their language, experience their pain, and befriend as many as possible. This is exactly what Jesus did when he came to our planet, carrying with him all the glorious attributes of his divine nature, and then clothed himself in human flesh, agreeing to eat our food, drinking our water, speaking our language, and dying for our sins. That is like the reality of our days, right? And as Christians, like my wife said to me last night, may we never lose the theology of Christmas. Like, it's right before us, and it's for our time. It was for Daniel's time 600 years before Jesus' time. How much more important is it for our time? And we would say today, as we apply this teaching and this amazing truth to our hearts, there is a God. He is our God, right? He is the God that dwells in us. It pleased the God to dwell in human form, in the whole form of a human being. It pleased him to do so in Colossians chapter 1. It's amazing. And I think that with God's love and our ability to receive it, he initiates it. He is the first cause to this, as it was with Daniel, the boy taken away from his home, from tragedy, from upheaval, to a little old man or young boy being raised up, loved, and then he set his heart. And remember, Daniel did that. We see it right away with the simplest of things. In Daniel 1:8, he purposed in his heart not to eat the king's meat. We can do this in small ways. We make decisions to set our heart. And as we think about our Savior, he helps us humble ourselves, humbling ourselves. And as we do, he is lifting us up, raising us up in this world, in our life. And may he do this more and more, as we saw today in our church. Where does these finances go? Well, they go with people. That's where the money of this church goes. Goes with people, and people that fill buildings and fill cars and go to countries and buy passports and buy food and do all the amazing things that God has called us to do in this age. Amen. 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 Jesus, we love you. We have no words sometimes, but thank you for the words you've given us from Daniel chapter 2. Thank you for the words that you have given us in our hearts for these days, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We seek your mercy in these times of need. There is always a time of need for us. And you are so faithful to supply our needs, Lord. You've never let your children starve. Lord, you've never let your people just come short of your righteousness. You have done everything. You've gone to the uttermost for us. And you've tasted death for every one of us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that the mystery of you was revealed. Lord, even 600 years, the Chaldeans predicted it without even saying it. I mean, the truth. And in the negative sense, we see an amazing positive. Lord, that we could believe it and think that it's not possible. It's not possible. But it is with you, Lord. And as Mary said, how will this be? The angel described to her exactly how it would happen. Thank you so much for your words that we build our life on. Thank you for the Spirit that lives within us. And we thank you so much for today in this church. God bless us, Lord. We ask your blessing to be upon us this Christmas and in these meetings here and around the world this Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen.